This is a replay of the Wednesday night, November 6th, WGN show. We started around 10:30. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
James, we've got 2.5 hours to spend together. I hope you'll spend them with me. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, providing it's not what's on everybody's mind today. That's right, there will be no election talk. All right, congratulations if your candidate won. Condolences if your candidate lost, and we're skipping all of that. All right. You can get that everywhere else ad nauseum. In fact, when I was looking for things to talk about tonight, boy, that's all you run across. And man, I got out of those sites so fast. I don't want to know. All right. So if you do want to know, of course, you're listening to something else, I would presume. And that's just fine. But there is a story that has been bothering me for the last week or so. I'd consider it government overreach, to say the least. But it just got me. Peanut the Squirrel. Have you heard about this? Yeah, Peanut the Squirrel has quite the social media presence, or had, I should say, quite the social media presence, and apparently hundreds of thousands of followers. And the New York Department of Environmental Conservation took him from his home abruptly and euthanized him 2 days later to see whether he had rabies or not. I kid you not. Yeah, now, there's conflicting information on whether or not anybody had been bitten. That's what they're saying. But the bottom line is that it seems to me, as I was reading this whole thing, is just that this is unacceptable on every level. In fact, the minute he was seized, there were petitions, Change and GoFundMe and all that, that he be returned to his family. Unfortunately, that was not the case. So Peanut is no longer with us, and you can probably see all the details on that. But it just, man, I tell you, just no reason for that I can figure out anyway. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, rest in peace, Peanut. Leah in Marcus Hook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm okay, given that there's nothing to talk about except the election, and we're not going to talk about it. So how are you?
I'm basking.
Oh,
not gloating, but basking.
All right.
Okay. And I just was wondering if you could play a song for me.
And what song would that be?
Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Okay. All right. I will do that. You betcha. Why not? All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
And I want to say about Peanut, I'm very upset about Peanut.
Yeah, I am. I really
okay?
am.
And Peanut is all over Facebook. I mean, people are just beside themselves over Peanut.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody can believe it. This guy, it's not like he was keeping him in an apartment or something. This guy had a farm, a big farm with a barn, and he rescues animals, okay?
I know.
It's not like he, like, stole him from his mother. He rescued him from a baby. He was kicked out of the nest, and he rescued him, okay? So it wasn't like he stole him from his mother or something. It was a rescue. And they said he wasn't allowed to have a wild animal. Well, I know plenty of people who have squirrels for pets. I do.
The bottom line to this, of course, is, well, the whole thing, I shouldn't say bottom line, because the whole thing is just upsetting, and rightfully so. And by the way, we're not only talking about Peanut the squirrel, but we're also talking about Mark Longo, his owner's livelihood, because Peanut was sort of the spokes squirrel, if you will, for his animal rescue, which was quite the undertaking. And, you know, you could go on various sites and see Peanut eating treats or trying on clothes or scurrying around the house.
He has a little cowboy hat and everything.
Right. And the deal is it's Peanut's Freedom Farm Animal Sanctuary. So bottom line is that 7 years ago, when Mark got Peanut as a baby, he was in horrible shape. He'd lost half of his tail. He was not able to live in the wild. So it started out with Mark caring for him at home. And then, of course, it went from there. But two, it was not only Peanut, it was also a raccoon, Fred. Fred, too, by the State Department of Environmental Conservation. Now, this is where...
Kill Fred, too?
I don't know. But this is, I assume, because, again, they claimed they had to kill Peanut to find out if he had rabies. Now, this is where it gets muddy, because whether or not Peanut, in fact, did bite anybody, blah, blah, I don't know. I haven't seen anything that would lead me to say this. It looks like the department was trying to ensure the protection of public health related to the illegal possession of wild animals, is what they said, who have the potential to carry a virus. Well, hey, every dog has a potential to carry that virus, too, and I hope they're not going to go door to door. The idea that not well suited for life in capacity, well, Peanut clearly is not one who could have lived in the wild. So, that's, and yes, Fred was euthanized as well. And, just saw that.
Jackbooted thugs. I just can't believe that.
And, there is a troubling lack of empathy with regard to pets. You know, one of the things is occasionally you'll hear something where a dog was confiscated and euthanized improperly. And what you find out later is, well, a dog in various states has different values, but it's like $200 maybe. The fact that this is a family member and a beloved pet is never taken into the equation in terms of what type of compensation you can get. And so in a situation like this, the pets are illegal to have, so they feel it's all right, we can go and we can euthanize them, which I guess they can. Now, by the way, they were euthanizing both animals to test for rabies. I have not seen, and I'm going to look, but what I've seen initially, I have not seen the results of these tests, which would be interesting as well. But
yeah, they totally buried the results because they didn't have rabies, probably.
I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to get the results. I'm going to look that up, but I have a feeling.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
Or I'm going to, obviously we hope that's, 24 to 72 hours after an animal is euthanized and the sample is received at a diagnostic laboratory. So by now we would know. And so
we would know.
Yeah.
They buried the results.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. And as I say, it's just culturally the way the law looks at animals. And again, particularly you see that with family pets of the legal kind, because you got a couple things going here because it's supposedly illegal to have them. So that's an interesting deal. But I wonder, wonder how this happened, because I don't think animal control was, on going street by street looking for squirrels or what have you. So how did this happen? All right. So and somebody claims that they were bitten. Well, and by the way, it is unlikely, and all the infectious disease experts who were interviewed sort of unanimously said it's very unlikely that he had rabies. But I would think if the animals were euthanized much more than 72 hours ago, we should know.
Well, I was bitten by someone's cat when I lived in Parkside, and I knew the girl, and I knew that she had gotten the cat's shots, and they kept asking me at the hospital, because it was a bad bite, but they kept asking me at the hospital, whose cat is it? What's her name? Where does the cat live? And I'm like, I wouldn't give it up.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. It was just a stray cat. I don't know.
Right.
I would not give her up because I knew what they would do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if you had reason to believe that there might be a question, you would have had a different attitude. But what you say is this was a pet of which you were aware and you knew that the pet had been vaccinated and all that. And that was right. So now, of course, people are coming out. Well, maybe they acted impulsively. No, there's a story here. And I hope that we will find it out. Because I don't think it's as simple as what we're hearing. And obviously, the results are in. Why don't we have them?
Yeah, normally I hate squirrels. I just think they're little pests. But, I mean, this one really got to me.
Well, you know, again...
He was adorable. I mean, he was just a little rescue. They rescued him.
Again, he also, more than that, he became somebody's livelihood.
That
affects me as well. And I would hope that there were options in the law other than euthanizing animals willy-nilly. It doesn't work for me. So we're going to see what happens. And I'd like to get to the bottom of this. And yes, I'd like to see somebody looking for work. Maybe multiple somebodies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh. Bye.
I one night John was coming home. It was in Delaware County, actually, not all that far from where Leah lives. And he called me, and it was probably about 20 years ago now, maybe more. And yeah, it would be more. But in any event, he called me to say he was on his way home, but he was being delayed because there was a deer in the road, and a baby, basically. And police had just arrived, and John thought, well, the police would, you know, escort it off the road. And they shot him. They just killed it in front of him. And I was traumatized by that for days, actually. And not to mention that John was, because he was witnessing it. It was sort of like, why? Why would that be your first approach? Here's a baby deer in the road. It doesn't seem like the right answer is, well, we'll just shoot him. So I don't know. I think we as the human race probably don't treat animals, well, not probably, we don't treat animals well as a whole. All right, let's talk about something happy, shall we? The CC Pocket Radio? Yeah. Well, if you're a radio fan, you know all about Bob Crane, because years ago he was as dissatisfied as some of us were with the quality of reception in radios that were being built, and he said, I could do better. And that is the one commonality that every radio you will see in the C. Crane catalog has. They all have terrific reception. And the CC Pocket is no exception to that. It's got unbeatable AM, FM reception, especially for its small size, and good audio, too. Now, you can use the included earbuds, and the audio is just amazing. But even the built-in speaker, you're going to hear things clearly and cleanly. It's got 5 memory buttons. It's got a clock, and, you know, it has all the bells and whistles like that. It also makes a good emergency radio because it has a lighted dial and the NOAA weather band with the emergency alert, so you'll know it when it's happening. It's very light. It's very durable, and I need that too because I drop everything. And so far, I haven't destroyed the CC Pocket. God knows I've tried. And it's got easy-to-hold rubber sides. It's got a pocket clip, and it makes it a ready-to-go-anywhere radio. You can go to ccradio.com and read all about it. ccradio.com. But if you can't go online for some reason, you can give them a call because they've got the best customer service. They'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a hard copy of the catalog in the mail free of charge if you want it. And you can order online as well. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, the world is your oyster. Not only will you see great products, but great information about radio, too. It really is a resource. CCRadio.com. Oh, yeah, for faster shipping, maybe REI, Bi-Mart, or Amazon, no problem. But I'd say before you do any of that, go to ccradio.com and look around. You look at that CC Pocket Radio, I think you're going to say what I do. It's just terrific. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original. He wrote it and recorded it. Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, Shaken All Over. Yeah, 1964. Redone by everybody and their brother. An amazing amount of people have redone that record. But the bottom line is the big hit in the States was the Guess Who. Actually, of course, they're from Winnipeg, a Canadian record. But if you looked at the label, originally it was Chad Allen and the Expressions. All right. But then I believe it was Quality Records, which is a label in Canada, that decided to call them the Guess Who. And record got to number one in Canada, by the way, did very, very well. And the story was pretty much that they were looking for an angle that maybe would make it appear that it was a British group. And so they didn't, you know, Chad Allen and the Expressions were too homegrown. So there was the Guess Who. And as it goes to number one on Quality Records, bottom line is the group decided, yeah, well, we can be the Guess Who, and you know the rest is history. The Guess Who version, which was Chad Allen and the Expressions originally, but that got to number 22 in the States, but it was Johnny Kidd originally who wrote and recorded it. And you're saying, well, why don't I know who Johnny Kidd is? Well, sadly, that one's really, really easy. He, 31 years old, died in a car wreck just about a year and a half after leading all of London and all of the UK with Shaken All Over. If you look at him, Johnny Kidd, he has an eye patch and all this. Well, it turned out that was just, and that's why, and the Pirates, but it turns out that was all for affectation. What had happened is before one of his appearances, a guitar string had snapped and, you know, got him in the eye, did no permanent damage, but he was tearing badly. So he wore an eye patch that night, and it went over so well that it kind of became his trademark. And bottom line is the eye patch stayed. But of course, again, who knows what would have happened, because on October 8th, 1966, at 2 in the morning, died in Lancashire in a car crash. He was a passenger. It was a head-on collision. So rest in peace to Johnny Kidd. We got another 2 hours to talk. Plenty of things to talk about. And yes, there is more information on Peanut the Squirrel, but even so, it could have been handled better. A lot better. We'll pick it up right there. Hope you'll join me on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So Linda in Richmond Park has said, play some Quincy Jones. So yeah, I thought of The Preacher immediately. 1959 on Mercury. Yeah, it was the flip side of Choo Choo to Boogie. All right, so we have more Quincy Jones coming up. Carol thought that Karen and Madison wanted Killer Joe by Quincy Jones. I thought it was the Rockefellers that she wanted, but obviously different record to say the least. But we're going to play them both. So you will hear that and more. Now, the other thing is wanted to comment a little more on Peanut here for a moment to say that there are questions on all sides of this story, including since Peanut's owner has an animal rescue, does he have permits for the animals he's rescued? Because, you see, that's going to be the key point here is that he was illegally kept, quote-unquote. He didn't have a permit, and so, therefore, he could be seized. And that's probably ironclad. Now, seized and euthanized and all that, probably not the best, definitely not the best way to handle it. What am I saying? But I'm a little curious about that. Also, very curious about how this transpired, who turned them in. There were people who loved the videos. There were people who complaining about the videos, including some that thought that it appealed to the prurient interest of a human, not a squirrel. And I assume, I don't know. But in any event, the deal is, at this point, the real question is, okay, we know Peanut wasn't permitted, but the man is running an entire animal rescue. Is he permitted to do that? Because more bad news is coming if he isn't. So we'll see what happens with that. But still, just on a human level and an animal level, that's just not the way to handle it. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Laura is in Willowbrook. Welcome to WGN Radio. Laura.
Hi, hang on a minute. I just had to take you off speakerphone. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
It's so refreshing to hear something that's not the subject of you-know-what.
Well, yes, but like I say, you know, we are voting. We're voting for the world's worst hit records, and I certainly am soliciting votes for that.
Yes. Okay, well, I'll do that first. I thought of one while you were doing it. Oh, my God, if I ever heard Tiptoe Through the Tulips one more time, I thought I would spit and throw my TV away. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, I never heard that so many times on TV shows and in the Tonight Show and all that. Like, oh, my God.
A fine choice.
So that's the only one I could think of, but oh my gosh.
Okay.
That song to this day still makes me sick.
Works for me.
Okay. All right. Now, other reason I called, if you don't mind, I wanted to talk about some of my pet peeves with shopping.
Yeah, it's funny because under your name it says beef with a supermarket. I was like, yeah, they have beef. I got hungry reading that. All right. So what's the deal?
There you go. Well, first thing. We know the supermarkets we're talking about. They've got three sets of doors. You got the far left, you got the far right, you got the middle. Well, you go to the one side, you park, you walk all the way to the store, doors are locked.
Oh, no.
Oh, the doors all the way on the other side of the building are open. Okay, what's up with that, Raleigh?
Usually the ones that are open are the ones nearest the food.
Oh, but why did they do that?
Well, all right. Bottom line, and I on some of the big box stores, Walmart in particular, the theft rate is extremely high, and so what they start to do is limit access after dark, and so they will close off some of the entrances. But more than anything, it's about pilfering.
Oh my gosh. And of course, all the stores are different. I figure, well, all the Jewels are this way or all the Walmart.
No,
every store is different.
Yeah, right.
And just because a car is parked on one side doesn't mean that's where you go in. I don't know. Oh, it's so annoying.
You should probably drive by and case it first. See which opening seems to be active with people going in and coming out, and then look for a spot near it.
Okay. All right. And one of the major ones of my pet peeves is Walmart, and are we going to have cashiers today, or are you going to have to cashier yourself? Now, I'm not sure why they started this, because I hate cashiering myself, because nine times out of ten, I go to cashier myself, and then they got to come and help me anyway.
Yeah, right.
So what? Yeah. The scan didn't work, or the price wouldn't work. What the heck? Why did they do that?
Well, initially why they did it, of course, as you probably well know, is it saves on employee costs if people are doing it themselves. In order for it to be seamless, though, their computerized database has to be up to the minute. Or like you say, you'll ring up the apples for 99 cents and they're on sale for 45 cents or something. So yeah, you're calling somebody over. And of course, God forbid you buy a bottle of wine or anything like that. You can look like you're 80 years old, but they have to have someone come and check. So there are things like that. But the reason they did it was to save. Now, the reason that they're going away from it in many locations is also to save, really? Because what they discovered was that people are not inherently honest in some cases. And so, therefore, somebody through the scan line has a $20 rib roast and they don't ring that up. They put the bag of peanuts twice through it and then throw the, you know.
Oh, no.
Theoretically, over the years, you know, since they debuted this stuff, the bags are weighted. So if the weight of the bag is greatly different from the weight of the items, but good luck on that. There's an awful lot of pilfering. So in some cases, they're realizing that it's cheaper to bring back the employees than to allow people on the honor system. And then, of course, others, they want to check what's in your basket, and that becomes a mess all the way around, depending on who they're checking and how and why. So all of this, though, is designed. They want to lower the costs as much as possible and sell the most goods. It's as simple as that. Now, what I hate is they will have, in some cases, three or four of the automatic checkers, and maybe two of them aren't working and two are, and then they have one checker in a line, and there are 47 grocery carts in that line. Open up more of the lines. So, yeah,
I know.
We all pretty much have the same beef about that. Or I love it on the lines that are restricted to, say, seven items or less. And you'll see some poor hapless soul not reading that who has 22 items in their bag. I've seen little old ladies practically beat them over the head with an umbrella. Don't get in this line. But, you know, I look at it like it's in-store entertainment. But I realize it's obviously not a perfected model at this point.
Well, that's for sure. It seems like when they try one thing, it works for a while, and then people figure it out, and then it doesn't work, then they try something else, and they can't figure out what the heck they want to do. I guess it's somebody's job in corporate just to figure this stupid stuff out. I don't know.
Well, they've realized, I think, sadly, that a lot of the stores that for a while were on the 24-hour model, which, of course, I loved because at 3 in the morning is when I want to shop. But me too. Originally, they opened that because they figured, well, the stores are open anyway for stocking and things like that, so why not sell a few things? But what they've realized is their theft rate on overnights was so astronomically high. Don't expect it to come back anytime soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Okay. One last pet peeve that I have. I'm so glad you're with me on some of these, and you're informing me on others as always. My last thing is pet peeve about any store. There's two doors right next to each other. There's a left door or a right door. It's like, well, you think I'm right-handed, so I'm going. Well, they don't always have an in and an out door, but I figure, okay, right-handed, I'll go pull the right door. The right door's locked, but the left door's open. Like, what the heck? You have two doors, and you could only go in one, but they don't say which is the in and out. I don't know how many places I go where it's, well, one's locked, you got to use the other one.
I don't know what to tell you.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Believe me, I understand.
Well, thank you, Raleigh. Yeah. Your show's great as always, and thank you and John for a great show.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. All right, and
vote. Take care.
Yes, so a tiptoe for the tulips is climbing up the list. Now, remember, this is a cumulative total. So whatever it is that you hate, make sure you mention it. And I'm looking now to see. Yeah, we've got some. I wouldn't want to do the top 10 right now. But I can see probably half of the top 10 as it stands. I could, if I had to tabulate it, I could. But we need for you to weigh in. Yeah, if it's a hit and you hate it, I want to know about it. So 888-876-5593. You can vote every night that I'm on the air until we'll cut it off the night before Thanksgiving. And then on Thanksgiving, we'll play back your top 10, because after all, you'll be eating your turkey, I'll be playing your turkey. So that's the way that'll go, and that will kick off the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club. I pledge to work on every holiday because I know what it's like when the schedule changes. However, this year, we will be on Thanksgiving. We'll be doing the world's worst hit countdown. We will be on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, but I have been informed by the powers that be that I will not be on Christmas Eve or Christmas night. I argued for you. I lost. All right. So it's going, I lost to worthy programming because some of it was on last year and it was well received. And so there, and it's Dusty Rhodes. And if you're from Cincinnati, you know Dusty Rhodes. In any event, so it's a special holiday programming that excludes me. So wish I could do it, but I don't call the shots. However, between now and then, we'll definitely do Thanksgiving and we'll do New Year's Eve and New Year's night. And so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to James on the South Side and his 9 zillion stories, and you two coming up on WGN Radio. Jones, yes, that is Killer Joe. And maybe that's the one Karen wanted, or maybe she wanted the Rockefellers, which we'll play next, but a good chance to play this, and I like that. 1970 on A&M for Quincy Jones. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, and that takes us to the man of 4,000 stories, James on the South Side. What's up tonight, James? James, speak to me. Oh, man, I don't know. All right, well, maybe James will call back. And he certainly does send stuff. And we have several things, including a former Disney employee accused of hacking their menus. Now, I read this story, and I thought to myself, you didn't change the passwords? Okay, so you see what happened was, and all good stories start out that way, don't they? Former Walt Disney World employee. His job was menu product manager. He was tasked with creating and publishing menus using a third-party computer system designed exclusively for Disney. All right, so he gets fired for just cause, they claim, for behaving badly, misconduct. Obviously, he has some time on his hands, and he decides he's going to fix the menus real good. And so it was that he altered them with profane language or improper pricing information or manipulating the allergen information by adding information. And I can only imagine what it would be. Yeah, but unfortunately, of course, if we're talking about removing peanut content, that can be deadly all the way around. So now they're suing him, saying he threatened public health and safety and had potentially fatal consequences. Mostly they were just embarrassing, no doubt. But why didn't they change the passwords? I mean, you don't think that this guy is a rocket scientist who somehow managed to hack into this against all odds? No. And he attacked 14 employee accounts during his hacking scheme, and some upper-level managers and things of that nature. And, of course, he wanted to hide his activity. Well, apparently Disney didn't want to hide theirs. So we'll pick it up there next hour here, or next half hour, on WGN Radio. Certainly not the same Killer Joe as Quincy Jones. This one was a hit, though, in 1963. The Rockefellers were a Filipino-born group discovered in the 60s and signed to Scepter Records. And there were four Filipino brothers. And I can see why they didn't use their last name, Maligmat. All right, probably wouldn't work out too well. But nonetheless, Killer Joe was co-written by Burt Russell, who, of course, is Burt Burns. So that was something. And the group did a number of things, none of which other than Killer Joe did anything. But Long Tall Sally was out on Parkway, and then they got over to Scepter. And Killer Joe, the flip side was Lonely Teardrops, by the way. And they had a follow-up, like the big guys do, that sort of charted but wasn't a hit. But Scepter put out half a dozen songs on them that did nothing. And then they switched to Warner Brothers that put out about four different singles and did absolutely nothing. So that was it for the Rockefellers. They continue to perform, though, don't you know. Sadly, some of them are no longer with us. But as recent as the last decade, anyway, two of the brothers, Albert and Eddie, are performing in Hawaii. So that's the deal on the Rockefellers. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Well, we do have the world's worst hit votes. We will do this until the night before Thanksgiving. So if you hate it and it's a hit, vote for it, for God's sakes, and we'll tabulate them after the show on the day before Thanksgiving, and then we'll play them back. All right, so in addition to that voting, next Mercury retrograde, the shadow of the retrograde, starts tomorrow. Yes, and you know the deal on shadows. If not, trust me. Mercury retrograde is one of those things that is well known among, I guess, the general public, a lot of them, as being, oh, no, this is going to be a terrible time because Mercury is in retrograde. Well, all planets other than the sun and the moon do have apparent retrograde motion. Obviously, they're not actually moving backward in the sky, but they appear to from our vantage point here on the Earth. And different meanings to what that may be, but for some reason, Mercury retrograde became well-known, and supposedly this is when you don't sign things and you don't travel and everything gets confusing and all that. Well, I guess that's because Mercury does rule travel and communication, but the reality is that it's not the bad omen that people make it out to be. However, it can cause a certain amount of confusion. You know, the reason they say don't sign contracts is because probably you'll have to go back and redo them. Now, that said, if you're redoing an already signed contract, like, say, you're redoing a divorce agreement or something, Mercury retrograde is a great time to revisit something. Just don't start it fresh. But so including the shadows on both sides of Mercury retrograde will be in this period from tomorrow through December 31st. All right, maybe that's a good excuse not to do things. All right, I'll leave it to you. Next full moon is November 15th. That is a week from Friday, 3:28 p.m. Central Time. And what else do we have? Oh, today was Saxophone Day. I don't know how it was celebrated. I can only imagine. What else do we have? Tomorrow is the Men Make Dinner Day. I might have to look that up. It doesn't sound too festive to me. And that pretty much is it. But if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And that may be absolutely nothing, truth be known. And I had a number of things to talk about, and I've lost them. So that's right. They were here before, but yeah, it's sort of like that. Plenty of news of the weird, though. Oh, here's a mother who made a suicide pact with her 10-year-old daughter, then watched as the child overdosed and got scared and fled the state. I don't know if the unconscious girl, the 10-year-old was found unconscious, actually succumbed, but I do know that the mother was on the lam for quite a while. And I believe that the child regained consciousness. Otherwise, how would they know about the suicide pact? So yeah, that was the deal there. But now mom has been apprehended and extradited back to Jackson County Jail in Mississippi on $500,000 bond. A suicide pact with your 10-year-old. All right, there you have it. Now if you think it can't get weirder. Oh, I've got another animal story for you. This actually was in the Colorado Supreme Court in Boulder last month. It was a showdown, justices versus five elephants, Missy, Kimball, Lucky, Lulu, and Jambo. Well, they live at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo in Colorado Springs, and you have non-human rights activists who, I'm not making that up, who believe that the pachyderm should be able to dispute their detention there. I would agree if they could, because they were born in the wild in Africa and are now showing signs of brain damage. They're rocking, which signals distress. And so the organization wants them moved to an accredited elephant sanctuary. So apparently the zoo is not that. I don't know about their condition. But the justices were moved, but somewhat skeptical. For one thing, one was looking forward about pet emancipation and saying, how do I know when it stops? And, of course, the zoo attorney was vociferous in saying there's nothing wrong here. So I think I think it was a score one for the justices or the zoo and score none for five pachyderms. But yeah, I think that the keeping of some wild animals is absolutely reprehensible. But in this case, I believe that they were obviously legally acquired and legally permitted, if you will. What the deal is with an accredited elephant sanctuary, I'm not certain. So, what else do we have? Ghosts! Yeah, right after Halloween, good for that. Yes, Joshua and Kima, a couple, bought a coffee shop in Opelika, Alabama, home of Ampex Tape, in early 2023. And they were expecting a lot, but they weren't expecting paranormal phenomena. Apparently, there's a soldier ghost who frequences the place, and they didn't know that. Apparently the ghost didn't know that they were not expecting him, and they hear the rustling noises from the back office, and then the barista saw a soldier walking toward them, suddenly disappearing. And what they've come down to, see, they need to call Marianne, but what they've come down to is they believe the shop is haunted by someone who died in the Civil War. I've seen unexplained boot prints on the floor. Nobody in our shop has ever worn combat boots. And so apparently going to the library there locally, they look up the town's history and found that many soldiers lost their lives. Well, as true for the entire Confederacy. And there was a Confederate supply depot near where this restaurant is located. And apparently nothing has presented itself as threatening, but none of them are in fact paying the bills. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll get back to Mark from Aurora and you too, and maybe your votes on WGN Radio.
Try some Oakham Boot, try some Oakham Boot.
I went to Chinatown, way back in old Hong Kong, to get some egg foo young. Ling Ting Tong, he would never be wrong. I wanna sing your song. I
some more kaboom.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So that also is for Jack in St. Charles. The Five Keys, Ling Ting Tong, 1954 on Capitol. Yeah, they're smoking something. I smoke them, Buddha. All right, fine then. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Mark and Aurora, but Judy's in Grays Lake and she's going to vote. So Judy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing?
I'm here. How about yourself?
Exactly about the same.
Yeah. So, what you voting for?
Okay, I'm going to do this a little bit strange. Maybe I'm a musical anomaly, but I do not like anything by Billy Joel.
Okay, you got to pick. I don't blame you, but you got to pick songs. We won't let you pick X.
Okay, we'll start with Piano Man.
All right, it's rising up the charts. Okay. Very good. What you got next?
Next, I have, how could this, just split out of my mind? Oh, Bruce Springsteen. Okay, we'll go with Born in the USA.
All right, very good.
Because I know that both of those were, top 40.
Very good. Good choices. What else?
The last one was the Beatles.
Which one?
They were, I was, three, and I remember this. I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, well, interesting. Most people would pick Hey Jude, but that's fine. So you got it.
I guess because some of my closest friends growing up would say Jude instead of Judy or Judith.
Okay. All right. I Want to Hold Your Hand is now officially on the list.
Huh?
I say I Want to Hold Your Hand is now officially on the list.
Okay, I'm trying to. You know, they were fine when they split up and did their own thing.
Oh, I don't know about
or
that. I thought it went from bad to worse. I didn't mind their really early stuff, but by the time they got going in the mid-60s, they left me behind.
They annoy me.
All right.
I mean, that's probably atypical of most people.
Well, that's why this works. You know, here's the deal. Since they're all hits, remember, for everyone we hate, there's somebody who not only loved it, they went out and paid money to buy it. So that's what makes this fun. So, yes, of course, you're not atypical. You're just against the tide, but you're not alone.
I have a voting thing that when we voted my son and I yesterday, it was so stupid. I don't know if anyone has come across this. And we didn't, it was raining, but we went in between the rain, so we were fine, because I use a walker. Mm-hmm. And we get in there, we're behind this 20-something-year-old mother, and she has a really adorable 4-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
She gets in there, she gets her ballot, and she lets her 4-year-old color in the ovals on the ballot. Wait, it gets better. She goes, she gives it to the woman to put into the machine, and it pops it right back out. And she's getting really upset. And she asks, well, why isn't it? They're mostly colored in. And the woman was trying to explain to her that that's why the black pen said, color the whole oval.
Yeah.
So she had to get out of line and go get a new ballot, and she was just throwing hissy fits all over the place. Wouldn't you think she'd maybe think of bringing the coloring book and crayons for the little girl.
I don't know
if she was going to get bored.
But, you know, I was also thinking, my God, if she's having the kid vote, if the kid's just coloring in blank, she might be voting for three people for the same race.
That's right. I would hope she was at least pointing. You know?
I have no reason to believe that.
But, I mean, really, that was just so idiotic. I mean, what four-year-old can have the manual dexterity to do that?
Not to mention...
It's hard for, you know, most of us to begin with.
I'm surprised that the election officials didn't say, I'm sorry, ma'am, your child cannot vote.
No, and they didn't ask for an extra piece of paper saying that, yeah, okay, you can be in with your daughter who's four, so it's legitimate for her to vote.
Oh, my God. Well,
like I had to do with my son because he's special needs.
I think you'll probably hear the stories like this all across the news. This is one reason I refuse to listen. I don't want to know.
But I got another beef, and it has to do with this. If I'm allowed, if I'm not, you just cut me off on it. The whoever owns, I guess it's Nexstar owns, like WGN, a bunch of other affiliates.
One radio station and a lot of television stations.
Yes. Well, I watched the cable news, News Nation. I watched a couple of shows starting at 6 o'clock Central Time. And they purport themselves to be fair and balanced, correct?
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying for is to be Sweden, so Switzerland, so to speak. But, of course, it's an impossible goal for anybody to really be that.
Well, listen to this one. About 2 weeks ago, and anybody who is a regular watcher and might have seen this on, I think it was Cuomo's show, he has on Geraldo Rivera occasionally.
All right.
Now, Geraldo is being paid by Nexstar, I would think. I mean, you're
asking the wrong one.
Anyway, what he did was he went on air and gave his particular support to Harris.
Okay.
Now, if you're working for that station that says we're fair and balanced, you do not give private opinion.
No, no, no. Let me explain something, and I understand that, but not necessarily, because here's what we need to know, and I don't know. You would have to look at the aggregate guests. Who else do they have? If he's supporting Harris, do they equally have guests who are supporting Trump? In other words, the idea of fair and balanced isn't that nobody's going to have an opinion. It's that it's going to be...
But he works for the station. He should not...
He's not an anchor or a reporter. He's a correspondent at large.
No, he's a reporter at large.
Oh, yeah, correspondent. But now here's...
Maybe it means he's wearing spandex. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. But here's what I'd want to know. Do they have other, quote-unquote, correspondents at large who present the opposite views?
I haven't heard anything, or watched anything, rather, that... I mean, he made... It was the day before a commercial... stating that he was going to be on throwing his support to Harris. That, to me, is just maligning the purpose of the shows when they say fair and balanced. Yeah. He is working for them. He should keep that to himself.
Well, it's an interesting point, and again, I don't watch it, so I can't really have a dog in the race, but here is what I wonder. Again, do they have correspondents showing the other side of... By the way, we're off the air. It's just you and me talking now, because we're into news, but that's all right. We can keep talking.
Okay.
You know, that's right. Do they have as many people showing another viewpoint? You know, if it's all one-sided, and I think that was probably the reason that they came up with, we're going to be well, Fair and Balance is Fox, but we're going to be neutral.
No, they've been doing that they'll present both sides of an issue.
Well, that's fine then.
Okay, but this dude works and collects a paycheck from the company that is saying that there's so no other anchor, host, whatever.
Well, that's what I want to know.
Gone on and done that.
That's what I want to know. Have any of the other correspondents?
No.
Okay.
Then
I would agree that is an issue. But,
no one's brought it up either. And really has demeaned him in my, personal estimation of, gee, where is your common sense?
Oh, he may have absolutely no common sense, but the question is, if he's the only one having that opinion,
I think he might be right.
Yeah, right. Why would it be structured? See, I just have to believe that other people had opinions because they're really, I know they really watch that on that particular network, that they don't want to appear like a CBS or an ABC or NBC to be lopsided, or an MSNBC, all that.
Or the Communist News Network, whatever.
No,
exactly. And they don't. They haven't.
Well,
and this is why it stuck out to me. I didn't get to watch the show the next day, but when I heard that, teaser the day before, it's like it's stuck out that something is really wrong here.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to, again, we're not on the air, it's on my stream, but it's not
on the
air.
I'll let you go.
No, don't let me go yet. Here's what I want to do. I want to find out about this, so I'm going to put you on hold. I want John to take your phone number, and I am going to find somebody within News Nation and ask them.
I would love that.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out what they were thinking, because I know in their heart of hearts they don't want it to appear like it appears to you. So I want to find out, hey, how did this happen and what else are you doing? All right, hang on. Don't go away.
For goodness sake. Shake, shake with all of your might, and then you shake. Woo! Yeah, you shake. Yeah, this ain't no bag. The hippie, hippie shake.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Chan Romero, and it was, who was it? Jack in St. Charles. That was his third request that we played tonight. Hope you heard them all, Jack. In any event, Chan Romero, that's the original Hippie Hippie Shake, 1958-59 on Delphi, actually, for the release, but he wrote it in 1958 when he was still in high school in Montana. And he had visited relatives in Los Angeles, actually had run into a guy at Specialty Records who was interested in one of his songs, wasn't Hippie Hippie Shake. He said, come back and polish that up a bit and bring it back to me. Well, the guy at Specialty Records was Sonny Bono, but unfortunately Chan had to return to school, so he didn't come back. But he writes Hippie Hippie Shake while he's sitting there, I think in the 11th grade, and it was interesting because, of course, it later came to the attention of Bob Crean, who had Bob Keane, who had Keane Records but also had Delphi, and The record did very little here, but what was interesting is it did very well worldwide, and Paul McCartney really liked it, and the Beatles used to sing it at the Cavern Club and the Star Club in Hamburg, and it did well enough that Chan Romero was in demand and did a tour, I think, in Australia with Jerry Lee Lewis, and of course, when the Swingin' Blue Jeans redid it in 1964, it was number one across Europe. Not a huge hit in the States, but and of course Bob Keane was looking for quote unquote a Chan Romero because of course Ritchie Valens had died in the plane crash with Buddy Holly, and he was you know unabashedly looking for another Latino singer, and that's how he found Chan, who was at least part Latino, and he was from Billings, and I think he was Spanish and Apache, and but nonetheless the deal was that he was signed to Keane, and to some degree resembled Ritchie Valens, and that was it. So, in fact, when I say to some degree, after Valens died in that plane crash, Romero was introduced to Valens' mother, and the two of them became very, very close. All right, so enough of that. Now, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And we have Mark in Aurora. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I have a couple more votes. They're both by Donna Summer.
No, that's...
One of them is her cover of MacArthur Park.
Uh-huh.
Now, a WXRT DJ kind of amusingly called Jimmy Webb's lyrics Kmart Shakespeare.
Oh, I like it.
And but I still like that music with okay. Richard Harris. But I, the Donna Summer version is just a... travesty.
Well, it was a
and
hit.
And then the other Donna Summers.
I was going to say, consider it voted for. It was
hit.
A hit. Yeah, so it counts. What else?
The other Donna Summer that I want to vote for is Love to Love You, Baby.
Oh, yes. All right. Fine choice.
In an interview, she said to her record people, you know, I need to lie down on the floor to do this one. And if you don't let me lie down on the floor, I'll just do church music.
What? Well, nice thing about that,
yeah.
That's before they were...
Because she's making orgasmic sounds.
Uh-huh. Well, fortunately, they weren't doing it as a video. At least not there.
Yeah! And my second item is that... it appears that WMVP, formerly WCFL, has mm-hmm. gone back to their daytime-nighttime antenna pattern because now at sunset, the station goes off the air for 2 seconds and then it's back on again. But the thing is that now that the towers are in Joliet, I get about equal sideband splatter for the nighttime pattern as okay. I do for the daytime pattern. When it was in Downers Grove, there was a definite attenuation, but it's about location, location, location in this case.
Yeah, and, you know,
but
we talked before they got...
We
talked before that they got that STA in September where they were allowed to move to Joliet and make changes to the nighttime pattern. Obviously, the whole deal is they have to have that null protecting COMO in Seattle. So, you know, were allowed to test until they could prove, you know, in a proof of performance that they, in fact, were not affecting COMO. And if yeah. they've done that, well, I would assume I'll be seeing a notice soon that the STA is not valid and the CP has been granted that they're at Joliet for good.
What does STA stand for?
Special Temporary Authority. I had to think about that a moment.
Oh, okay.
There are two types.
Oh.
You can have an engineering STA and you can have a silent STA. And so if it's a silent STA, you can be silent for as long as 365 days. But as of 366 days, you lose your license, and that's congressionally mandated.
Mm.
But for an engineering STA, you know, you state what you're going to do, and they take a look at it and determine whether that's okay or not.
That stands for what temporary authority?
Special temporary authorization.
Special temporary authority.
Yeah, authority.
And,
right.
Oh, authorization.
Well, it actually, and, I think it is, I think it technically is authority on the FCC database. Special temporary authority, STA.
And didn't she say that they were on reduced power for
a
while?
Yeah, well, no, that was the deal in testing it. They you know, agreed that they were going to reduce the power to test it to make sure that, you know, they were protecting that null.
Yeah.
And so let me go to their little see if I can find out whether whether they have pulled
it. I think you said it was one-tenth the power.
Yeah, but right. But what I'm wondering about, because you're hearing it at full power now, so I'm wondering, and I'm going to look.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, so let's take a look at whether that STA is still in.
And I googled Downers Grove and Joliet, and they're virtually the same distance from Aurora.
Okay. All right. So let's look for our STAs here. And let's see what we got. Well, yeah, they filed it on 9/27. I haven't seen any change since then. So technically, they're still tweaking it until they tell the FCC they're not.
Oh. So they're still at reduced power.
Well, yeah, let me, I can give you the exact verbiage, but yeah, it theoretically would be in testing mode. And then when they're complete, like I say, they'll do a proof of performance and be able to show that, in fact, everything's good. So where is there?
Yeah.
Usually to these STA, they include notes. Okay. Oh, come on. Open this. So I'm opening the filing now. And they make it difficult.
Oh.
All right. So let's see. Engineering in support of. Right. Well, let me read it. While I am doing that, there was something else. Here we go. I wanted to say we got cut off because of the news. That was entirely my fault earlier because, of course, I don't watch the clock and Bob in Master Control does. So I hope that nobody thought that we stopped talking because there was something you weren't supposed to hear or News Nation or something. But no, our caller, Judy, was concerned about Geraldo Rivera expressing his views, and she was saying that nobody else on the station had expressed theirs, and I said, well, I'll see what I can find out. And so, anyway, it wasn't. We weren't shut up. All right, so the construction permit authorizes operation on 1,000 kilohertz with a daytime power of 50 kilowatts and a nighttime power of 37 kilowatts using different directional patterns for daytime and nighttime. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the construction permit. So the owner is trying to verify that the directional patterns authorized in the construction permit, pursuant to the method of moments, you know, the proof, as I said, after they complete that, they'll adjust the daytime and nighttime signal directional antenna systems to the new modeled operating parameters. So the STA was requested to operate MVP at the CPT site non-directionally as necessary at a power of no greater than 25% of the authorized power to facilitate implementation and adjustment of the construction permit facilities and to protect workers directionally during daytime and nighttime hours with the new moment method model derived operating parameters at the power levels authorized by the commission until the time that
any idea why they go down to 35,000?
Well, why they're licensed to do that? That I couldn't begin to tell you.
Actually,
I could begin to tell you, but I'll have to look at a lot more documents. Bottom line is they're still in the period of testing, at least according to you know this.
Right.
And so
interesting.
Probably the 37 kilowatts has to do with what they're trying to accomplish with those directional. Now, what I also need to do is go back, which I won't do right now, but I'll be able to tell you later, is go back and pull the CP. What did the construction permit state, you know, for the end result? And we'll find that out.
And have you read anything more about what WWVB is doing? Have they got their full power back?
I do not believe they have.
Because I listen to that every day.
They claim that as of October 10th they were operating at full power. But
yeah, I wait for that announcement at the 10 minute mark because that's when they would make that announcement. But I haven't heard one yet.
Well, and it's interesting because, as I say, as of October 10th, supposedly they were, but there are a number of people who are still having issues. So I have not looked at to see what the deal is with that. But supposedly they are back. Now, so you're saying no, they're not?
I'm saying I don't know because I don't have an atomic clock.
Right. You don't have anything that's
going
to operate at 60 hertz.
That was going to be my next question. What was the brand? What was the brand of the one that was audio?
Yeah, you're supposed to write this stuff down. I'm not supposed to remember it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll see what I can find out quickly. Audio.
Okay.
Again, we want things that are, you know, under $100, not $7,000.
Yeah.
So, but there's a company that made them, and not only one company, but there was one in particular. And let me find it here. ILA, Independent Living Aids, makes some of these. ILA.
Okay.
So you can
and
either.
Maybe if I call the Lighthouse for the Blind, they can supply me one.
Well, maybe, and I can give you their 800 number for ILA. They can send you a catalog.
Oh. Well, let's see if I can memorize it.
All
800
right.
watts.
Yeah, right. You remember the 800. That's either easy. So the next one, the next one is 537. And then 2118.
537-2118.
Yeah.
And then I believe the caller's name was Lori, but she was asking about getting a jukebox. And then John suggested, why don't you just get a CC3 radio and use the Bluetooth? And I just want to tell Lori, if she's listening, that... I almost got the CC2E because I didn't think I needed another Bluetooth device. But then I thought, well, it would be nice to have some programs as if they were coming out of the C-Crane radio, which they would be. So I got the Bluetooth model, and that thing is superb. It's
if Lori has any thought of
getting that, I would highly recommend that she do so, because then. You know, then she could get songs off of YouTube, and it would be as if she had a jukebox.
Yeah, yeah. Now the the talking atomic clock and calendar from ILA is now on sale for $34.76.
Oh.
So you'll have to talk to
them. It's 800-537-2118.
Yes, and 537 would be like, you can remember it if you want to do letters like LEP, that would be 537, or KES, you know, JER.
Yeah.
Although that's usually what I do with phone numbers, is I turn them into letters and remember them that way.
Right.
So.
Okay, well, I'll try and think of some more sour songs. And,
yes, by all means.
Paul's
open.
Yeah, thanks for looking things up for me.
Oh, sure, and I will go further when I'm off the air to look to see if they've filed anything else, and also to see what that CP says. All right, thanks.
Take care.
All right, you too. Okay. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll talk to James on the South Seas calling back. All right, stories, yeah, all that and more. And again, your votes, hopefully, and if not tonight, well, you know, tomorrow night. By the way, tomorrow night it's another half-hour delay due to the Blackhawks, but we will we should be on promptly at 10:30. And that's the deal there on WGN Radio.
Step right up, folks, and see little Egypt do a famous dance of the pyramids. She walks, she talks, she claws on her belly like a reptile. Just one thin dime, one-tenth of a dollar. Step right up, folks.
I went and bought myself a ticket, and I sat down in the very first row. They pulled the curtain up, and when they turned the spotlight way down low, little Egypt came out strutting, wearing nothing but a button and a bow, singing, yeah, yeah, get you, get you, get you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She had a ruby on her tummy and a diamond big as Texas on her toe. She laid her hair down and she did the hoochie.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The Coasters, Little Egypt, 1961 on Atkin, and that was another one Jack wanted to hear. No, there was a Little Egypt. Actually, there were many. It was a stage name, but the first was probably Lorraine Shalhoub from 1931 in Brooklyn born, but many since her. And yeah, that was the deal, yin yang and yeah, all that stuff. So in fact, there are entire books and probably thesis for PhD students. Little Egypt, a critical biography. Yes, so in fact, Lieber and Stoller borrowed from real life on that. So we will have another half hour for your votes, Karen in Chicago, for James Stories and whatever's on your mind on WGN Radio.
Don't try to blow out the sound for me, baby. I'm not asking for what I know can't be. All that I ask is a kiss a day, and I'll give you love that'll never go away. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I wouldn't ask you to lift up this great big world, baby. I'm not that kind of a girl. But boy, I want you to know, I wouldn't ask you to hold back the door light of dawn, baby. That's too much to ask for me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Nina Simone. And that was Wesley. Yeah, he requested that a couple weeks ago. I hope he's listening. That's All I Ask. 1966 on Philips was actually an LP cut. Wild as the Wind was the album. 888-876-5593. Oh, votes. I like to take votes. So, Karen in Chicago, what you got for me?
Hi. I have the men in my little girl's life.
Oh, yes.
I can't stand that.
All right. Well, I can understand
it. And Tell Laura I Love Her.
Oh, yes. All right.
Oh, my goodness. There was another one that I can't remember the name of. Something about a sweater, and the person dies, and the guy gets...
That's Laurie. Last night at the dance, I met Laurie, lovely and warm, an angel of a girl. Last night, I fell in love with Laurie. As I walked her home, she said it was her birthday. I pulled her close and said, I see you anymore? Suddenly, she asked for my sweater, said she was very, very cold. I kissed her goodnight at her door and started home. I thought about my sweater. I went right back instead. I knocked at the door. A man appeared. I told why I come, and he said, you're wrong, son. You weren't with my daughter. How can you be so cruel to come to me this way? My Laurie left this world on her birthday. She died a year ago today. Should I continue?
Oh, right.
But
how can you remember all that without vomiting?
You know, I don't know. I guess I like Dickie Lee personally, maybe. I don't know. I just thought it was one of those, you know, and you know, believe me, I did not memorize any of these songs intentionally. But if you play them again, if you play them again and again, how can you not? You know, it's just
I know. And it's so ridiculous. I don't know how there was a while there where all these horrible, pitiful songs were coming out. Everybody was depressed.
Well, yeah, that could be said about so many things, though. I mean,
What was the name of that last bumper that you had? I liked it, and I couldn't hear what the name was.
Nina Simone. And the name of the
song
is...
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, That's All I Ask is the song, and
Nina
it's from...
Nina Simone, That's All I... Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, well, she's
okay,
great.
Thank you so
All right,
much.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Oh, I'll be right. coming up with more.
I hope so.
Keep up the good
thanks.
Work.
All right. So, one thing Carol did for... Because, of course, Carol keeps me honest on this. I wouldn't be able to tabulate these things anymore. My mind up and left me years ago. But one thing that she did was she gave me the list of everything voted on last year. So when you vote, I can either add a hatch mark to what has already been voted on last year, you know, and start over fresh, obviously, for 2024. But I just noticed that all three of the songs suggested by Karen were not on last year's list. So The Man in My Little Girl's Life, yes. Tell Laura I Love Her. And Laurie. Fine choices. All right, Mike is in Palatine. He's got some votes. So hello, Mike.
Hello. You got a great show and appreciate it. And like to vote for Put Your Hand in the Hand by Ocean.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. I like that. All right.
And Hey Jude from the Beatles.
Oh, yes.
And The Night Chicago Died by, I believe, Paper Lace.
Yeah, Paper Lace. All right. All good choices. Yeah.
Okay, and great show, and thank you. Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate it. All right, put your hand in your ocean. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and the man of four zillion stories, maybe he's still awake, is James on the South Side. You still with us?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, no, no. No, no, your phone is not working at all. It sounds like you're in a bathtub. Can you talk directly into the instrument itself?
Okay, how's that?
No. No, it literally is.
How's that?
That's getting better. You're getting better. Keep going.
Okay. This, I think, it hasn't had a good day.
Yeah. What do you have against landlines?
I still got it, and I usually sometimes I use it, but I had been like I'll give this phone a rest and use the landline probably the rest of the week.
Yeah, maybe forever.
Yeah, it's okay, because most people, when they think about this phone, they say, you got another lose. So actually, the one you had, the one right between the one that managed to dance off the and into the water was probably your best one.
Yeah,
Too bad it did that.
Yeah, but landlines are predictably okay, and we give you the toll-free number, so it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah. Okay, I'll probably use it basically, because most of the people, they say there's something definitely wrong with your phone.
Yes.
Everyone who I talk to says there's something seriously wrong with it.
Well, then that should tell you something.
Yeah. Before we start, I do have requests. I'll just put two on there.
Okay, now these are requests or are these world's worst hit records?
No, these are requests.
Okay, what do you want?
Okay, the first one is Terry Stafford, Suspicion.
Okay.
And the second one is Patsy Cline, You've Taken Him Off My Hands.
All right. All right, and I haven't played your Patsy Cline yet. Pick Me Up on Your Way Down. Do you know that was a remake that was actually released posthumously for her? Did you ever hear the original Charlie Walker?
Oh, no.
Oh, well,
no.
Maybe I'll play it for you next. Because, the Patsy Cline one came out in about, after she had gone. 68, I think, on Decca. So clearly it was, not an original release. But, the original was Charlie Walker, and I will play it for you.
Okay. Oh, let me get to what the story thinks. Okay, right quick.
All right. What you got?
Okay. Okay. Was the one where the mother and daughter had a suicide pact.
I talked about that earlier. And then when the child became unresponsive, she fled the state. Yes, we discussed that particular crime.
Yeah, then it was, of course, the ones that seemed like the doctor said, oh, you're too young to have cancer.
And how often does that happen, unfortunately? Yes.
Unfortunately, it happens too much. That's why, unfortunately, you have St. Jude's, basically, hospitals like St. Jude's having to run around trying to save the day. Thank Danny Thomas for that one.
So there you are. There you are. So, McDonald's, meanwhile, is losing customers, Geno Shock. And so they're going to be introducing a new value menu reel in meal in 2025. So apparently that will be the $5 meal deal. And I do not think it comes with E. coli. But I can't.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they unfortunately, whatever it is, let's put it this way, one of their more iconic and most popular sandwiches has basically been critically, if not mortally, wounded.
Yeah, well, and you know, of course, the slivered onions, it's going to have to be further investigated into what that is. But the other thing is that, unfortunately, E. coli outbreaks can kill you if you're immune compromised, if you're considerably older, if you're very young. But for most people, they're just going to get what they consider to be a case of food poisoning, and they're going to be fine. So, they say 75 people are sick, and for all I know, it's 7,500. Most people don't report it. You know, it's only when it gets bad.
Yeah.
So 22 hospitalized, and one who was quite elderly died. So we don't really know how many people, because, you know, I think all of us have gotten about a food poisoning. I get it with alarming regularity, and I've never once gone to the hospital or notified anybody. So who knows how many people have been sickened?
Yeah, and really, I think, okay, but it's going to take a while, because our old coach and I were like discussing about quarter pounders as one of our best, one of the sandwiches we think of most. And when we think about McDonald's, it was like saying, well, we're going to have to at least hold off on it for a while. He's out there near where this is happening. Thankfully, he's not in the same state.
Yeah,
but he's near it.
You know, when you're talking about food ingredients like the slivered onions, this is a very hard thing for somebody to really really identify and know. So, you know, from that standpoint, McDonald's supposedly buys from a reputable supplier, and I have not researched it, but some that I've heard have said that the supplier's onions tested clean. I don't know. So there's more I don't know than I do know. But when you're talking about a restaurant that is obviously going to be, getting its ingredients from many, many different suppliers, it's just for the luck that it turned out to be McDonald's. It easily could have been anyone else.
Yeah, because a whole bunch used similar suppliers for onions.
Well,
yeah.
Of course, that's what I mean. McDonald's doesn't have onion fields where they're cultivating their slivered onions. I mean, let's face it, they're buying it from a supplier. And that supplier is supplying to many companies that aren't McDonald's. And again, like I say, I when it first came out, I tried to find out who's the supplier, and I did. And at that point, it said that they were testing clean. But I haven't read since then. But finding out exactly what it is and who it is and all that, I don't think avoiding McDonald's is gonna cause you to be less likely to have a problem.
Yeah, I think that what I've heard is like it's Taylor Farms. I think they said some subsidiary of theirs, basically, is supposedly involved. At least that's from one of the stories.
Taylor Farms, right? And it's in Colorado Springs, and that's what the CDC has named. And again, I have not looked at the research to see, did the CDC, how did they trace it back? I don't know.
Yeah, and really, here's the problem. It would be something if all the ones that were involved, the onions that actually caused it, were all gone, and everything else that's come since then is clean.
Yeah, really hard to trace these things back. But the one thing we do know is you're not going to avoid them by saying, well, I'm not eating at this restaurant anymore. It could have been anybody.
Yeah, we could even, if we go and do our own cutting and stuff and say, and don't even realize we have an onion that isn't exactly clean.
Yeah,
well,
right.
After we've washed it.
Well, yeah, peeled it and washed it. But, yeah, I just looked this up, and the CDC does report that they have traced it back to the onions, and the Taylor Farms has removed all of the implicated onions that, you know, at any of the chains that serve them. So, you know, hey, it happens. I don't know that there's a way to prevent it.
No, it isn't. It's like basically... It's like trying to basically play, it reminds me, okay, if back in the early 20th century, I'm trying to think of that book by Upton Sinclair about the slaughter things, where it talks about the about how the cleanliness and stuff like that.
Right, right, exactly. The Jungle. It was 1906, The Jungle. And that's when everybody read that, you know, at the time, turn of the last century. And, you know, it was depictions of stockyards and slaughterhouses. And, oh, man, it absolutely led to the passage of food safety laws and not to mention the, quote unquote, pure food movement. But the reality is we might know all this, but most of us are not going to take the time to source our own food and make all our own ingredients from scratch. It's a nice thought, but we're not going to do it.
Oh, no, because first off, it's not enough time in the day for most of us.
Yeah. Well, right, exactly.
Unless we're Martha Stewart.
And, you know, the other thing, though, about Upton Sinclair's book is that it was largely actually not about food. You know, he was a dedicated socialist, and he was opting more under working conditions. And, you know, he referred to the wage slaves of the beef trust. So there was much more behind his book than just his concern. In fact, The Jungle was a metaphor for capitalism. And originally it appeared in a socialist newspaper in sections. And so, you know, consequently, I think to some degree when you read that, it sort of bastardizes the sub-subject of, in fact, the food conditions.
Yeah, but just think about it. I mean, Chicago was the hog butcher. In fact, there was an L line that was dedicated just to there.
Yeah, well, and it was
no longer
Sinclair was on a train to Chicago when he was trying to come up with material for the quote unquote great American novel. And so that's where he first ran into not only the food conditions, but the working conditions. So, absolutely. Though that's, you know, no less horrible to read what was in the food conditions. But again, that was his subtext. So, all right.
Yeah, they had two rather awful fires. In fact, one family actually moved away because they were seen as being the bad luck of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was another fire near where they had moved to, right? Still in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You have sadly ended the night pretty much. So I'll talk to you maybe tomorrow night or soon.
Okay,
thanks.
You take care.
All right, good deal. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate the call and the stories. All right, so I think these are truly the waning moments, but if you want the last word, you got to get it now. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
You were mine for just a while. Now you're putting on the style. And you've never once looked back at your home across the track. You're the gossip of the town, but my heart can still be found where you tossed it on the ground. Pick me up on your way down. Pick me up on your way down when you're blue and all alone. When their glamour starts to bore you, come on back where you belong. You may be their pride and joy, but they'll find another toy. Then they'll take away your crown. Pick me up on your way down.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1958 for Charlie Walker, Pick Me Up on Your Way Down, Patsy Cline. It came out in 1968 on Decca, but there's another Pick Me Up on Your Way Down. Not the Harlan Howard, but Mayborn Axton co-wrote Pick Me Up on Your Way Down that Patsy Cline did in April of 63. So I'm not sure which of the Patsy Cline I've got lined up here, but if whatever it is, we'll play the other one tomorrow night.
Pick me up on your way down. Pick me up when dreams are shattered, when thoughts, friends cannot be found.
All right, so that's the Mayborn Axton, Pick Me Up on Your Way Down. But confusing as heck, and we'll get the other one on as well. So yes, indeed. Charlie Walker had a big hit with the Harlan Howard record anyway. I don't know if the Mayborn record actually did very much, but it was right around the time, sadly, that after a plane crash when they're busy releasing a lot of stuff that they released that. Well, I've got 1 minute left. That's literally the deal. 1 minute. And you know, Bob is very absolute. He'll cut me off. So that 1 minute belongs to Jim in Richmond.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, Jim, it's your minute.
I just don't understand. When they run production through the plant, don't they do a test of what they're sending out to the public? I've seen so many things on PBS about when they testing the ice cream that they're sending out, whatever. And basically, don't they do a test on what they're sending out to the public?
We're going
to
talk about that tomorrow night. And as far as I know, it is a sample. It is not a case where every single unit is tested individually. So we'll talk about that. I'm glad you brought it up. Call me tomorrow night and we'll continue it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, good deal.
Raleigh.
Talk to you soon. All right, so that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Bob for keeping us on the air and keeping us honest, and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling, and I ask you to do it again tomorrow night right here on WGN Radio.